You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. It's leap year, and I've been guilted into doing a podcast. I'll explain that later. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the places where you get your podcasts. You can listen to us directly on the website, lockedonmlb.com, or you can check us out. If you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Angels, which I guest hosted on Friday. Taylor, who is the normal host there, was a guest on this podcast, couldn't do a show, asked around, said, can someone guest host for me? I said, sure, go ahead, knock yourself out. Your pal Sully's got this. Stacy had Locked On Yankees, Gabrielle had Locked On Red Sox, AJ had Locked On Blue Jays, Javier had Locked On Padres, Jeff had Locked On Dodgers, don't be confused with Jeff had Locked On Reds. Not to be confused with the good folks at Locked On Astros, the Locked On A's, everybody. It's your team every day. I think you detected a pattern there. You could follow us at Locked On MLB underscore net on Twitter and Locked On MLB on Instagram. I just briefly went to the planet Neptune there. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let me explain to you why I'm doing this on the 29th day of February 2020. It's a Saturday. I don't normally do Saturday podcasts. But my old friend Marcel, aka C-U-8-S-F-A-N, or as I like to call it, Cubs fan with an 8, reminded me that on the old podcast, the Sully Baseball Daily Podcast, which I used to do 365 days a year, and I did that between 2012 and 2017. I used to say on the podcast, we're going to do it 365 days a year, unless it's a leap year, and then we're going to do another one. Well, it's a leap year. Now, if this was on a Monday through Friday, because I'm now doing this for Locked On, everyone at Locked On has been really great. Thank you, David Locke, for bringing me on board here and paying me some shekels to do this. I don't want to spoil my amateur status for the podcasting Olympics, but I am now a professional. If it happened during the week, and as I committed a Monday through Friday, I would be doing it. Note that it was a leap year, then move on. Leap year this year fell on a Saturday. Your pal Sully was going to take today off, but Cubs fan with an 8 reminded me the vow I made. In case it's a leap year, then we'll do another one. And how could I deny him? Besides, the last time there was a leap year was 2016, right? Now, something happened in 2016, which some people think is really good and some people think is really bad, and this is not a political show. But for Cubs fan with an 8, the last time there was a leap year, his Cubs won the World Series. So I know why he's pushing for me to do this. So, what the hey? I'm going to do a little bonus podcast for the weekend. You get 6 this week. You get 6 for the same price as 5. The last time there was a leap year was 2016. At the time, who was the defending World Series champion? I'll give you a hint. Ben Zobrist won a ring with them as well. Ben Zobrist was the World Series MVP in 2016 when the Cubs won the World Series, and I still can't figure out who the Indians' World Series MVP would have been if they scored a run in the bottom of the ninth of that World Series. I probably would have said Corey Kluber, even though Corey Kluber was clobbered in Game 7. Say Corey Kluber clobbered 5 times in a row, would you please? The defending World Series champion the last time there was a leap year were the Kansas City Royals. Now, the Royals are in full rebuilding mode, and they did what you would expect for a smaller market team. Now, I personally don't think there's any team that is poor. I think all teams can afford to sign at least their major star, but I'm not so naive to think that the Kansas City Royals are in a position where they can start throwing around $100 million contracts to fill up their entire roster. I do understand that there is a difference in terms of budget-wise and in terms of revenue-wise between a team like the Dodgers and the Yankees and a team like the Royals. I think the Red Sox are a team that are more like the Dodgers and Yankees, which is why I find it absurd that they're breaking up the team to save $7.45, but that's a different podcast. So the Royals are the type of team that when you look at them, that when they have a peak and they have a chance to win and they have a chance to go for it, you go for it, you try to win in that period of time, and then, you know, you got to back off a little bit and then hopefully put together a really good team. And they won the World Series in 2015. They won the pennant in 2014. And they made some moves that got some people to scratch their head. But does anyone think the James Shields and Wade Davis for Will Myers and Jake Odorizzi trade is bad now for the Kansas City Royals? I had to defend that trade when it first happened in the days, the infant days of the Old Sully Baseball podcast. But what about the Royals of this year? Now, the Twins are the defending division champions. They won 100-some-odd games last year. I think it was 101. I could be wrong. I'm doing this from memory. And I think they look like the strongest team, but they all teams like that can make a regression. They could. There's no guarantee that the Twins are a dominant team. I think the White Sox are incredibly improved from last year. But is it a big enough improvement to be a 90-some-odd win team and win the division? And we're not really sure what we're getting out of the Indians. I mean, if they start off slowly, then Francisco Lindor is all but traded. Why not the Royals? An interesting thing when I was taking a look at the Royals today, and your pal Sully does things like that, is Salvador Perez is healthy for the first time in a while. Salvador Perez, remember him? He was the World Series MVP in 2015. And there are a couple of faces that are still hanging around from that team that won the World Series. Technically, Adalberto Mondesi had an at-bat in that World Series, so he was part of that team. And you also have Alex Gordon, who was a big player and got a big home run in that year's World Series against the Mets. He's still hanging around. You have pitchers like Danny Duffy was on that team. He's still hanging around. And you have a couple of interesting players who have been productive for the last couple of years, like Whit Merrifield and Jorge Soler. Hunter Dozier showed up. And they have some quality young players on the team who could potentially turn things around. Brad Keller, is he a great pitcher? No, but what if he has a positive season? What if Michael Franco at third base? Hunter Dozier, as I mentioned, or Nicky Lopez. What if some of these players have a season where they come back to where you expect them to play? Do you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of another team that won the World Series during the lifespan of the Sully Baseball Daily podcast, and that's the 2013 Red Sox, a team that had a bunch of veterans, some young players, and the veterans all seem to have pretty good season. None of them had a superstar season. When you look back at the Mike Napolis and the Shane Victorinos of the world who were on that team, the Stephen Drews and everybody. But they all had good years, and they all played well. And if that starting staff that the Royals have, if somehow some combination of Brad Keller, Danny Duffy, Jacob Junis, Mike Montgomery, some combination of Jesse Hahn, Foster Griffin, Glenn Sparkman, Greg Holland, who's back, who was part of the World Series winning team. He was injured, did play in that year's postseason, but was a big part of that bullpen. If some combination of that plays better than you're expecting, could the Royals be a surprise team in a winnable division? I don't think they have a prayer to win 100 games in the World Series. But who are the locked wildcard teams? Probably Oakland, but Oakland can regress. Probably Tampa, but they can regress. You know the Astros, whether you like them or not, they're going to be good. You know the Yankees, despite some injuries, are going to be good. But who else is the guaranteed no way they're going to regress to the mean club? in the American League. I'm having trouble thinking of them. So why couldn't the Royals, if, now granted, everything has to click their way. They have to avoid big injuries, and they have to have their veterans come back to playing the level that you know, that they're capable of playing. But why not the Royals? Why couldn't they? By the way, I just want to say this as we're, the next podcast you're going to hear is going to be March, so I can't say this anymore. I will just say for the last time, hopefully, unless something egregious happens, it's still February, and Astros fans, you have to understand that it's going to get a lot worse, and you have to pace yourself. It drives me crazy that there even some smart Astros fans don't seem to understand that general concept. People are going to ask you about it. You don't have to say what it is. And you can't play the, why are they bringing that up? How can you possibly accuse us of anything else? Because that's what happens when you're caught. People look at you. You know, I work in a school. And there's a kid who is always in trouble. He always, like, he gets caught pushing kids and being mean to kids and tripping kids. And the other day, I saw there was some, let's just say there was some hubbub at the playground. And I saw that he was in the middle of it. And I said to, you know, I pushed him and I said, hey, what's going on? And I pointed him to, what's going on? And he said, why are you pointing at me? I said, why pointing at me? Because you're always the one doing this. You've been caught doing this. I haven't caught these other kids doing this. So yeah, I'm pointing at you. Now he could say, well, you can't prove I did it. No, if you're the one who's been caught doing it in the past and I see something else is happening or something looks like they're happening, you can't play the, why are you pointing your finger at me card? You just can't. And everyone knows that. Everyone's been a parent knows that. And I'm still seeing Astros Twitter being all incredulous that fingers are being pointed. Yeah, that's going to happen. It stinks for you. But you know what? That's the price you pay when you're caught. And we all know it's going to happen to the Red Sox too. So just everyone calm down and everything like that. Hey, a couple of quick stories about spring training. I'm glad that Ubaldo Jimenez is back with the Rockies. He always seemed like he should have been on the Rockies. He was one of the few pitching stars that the Rockies ever produced. He's no longer a star, but it'd be fun to see him pitch well again in a Colorado uniform. People seem to come back to the Rockies. You remember like Matt Holliday came back to the Rockies? I'd like to see the Rockies do well again. It looks like Nolan Arenado really wants to see him do well again. And look it, I get Nolan Arenado's frustration. He signed a contract extension when it looked like the Rockies were putting together a really good team, and they did make the postseason two straight years, and they were one win away from winning their first ever division title. The Rockies and the Marlins are the only two clubs to never win the division, which is weird. The Marlins have two World Series titles. But they've always been wild cards whenever they got into the postseason. And he signed the extension when things were looking great. And now things regressed, kind of like with Kansas City. Sometimes that happens. But I get why Arenado was frustrated because he said, man, I thought we were putting together a really good team for the next few years. I don't see much improvement. I want out of here. But part of me also says, and if you listen to this podcast, I almost never take the side of the owners, and I almost always take the side of the players. But there is part of me that says, look, you signed a long-term deal. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't express your frustration or demand a trade, because that's obviously collectively bargained for. But I also think that the sort of the understood agreement when you sign a long-term commitment with a team is, hey, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in this to see when we put it together, maybe right away or maybe towards the end of my deal. But within the time frame of this contract, we're going to have a winner on this team. I'm going to have stability and be with the same organization for a long time. And that's what you're kind of sort of agreeing to. That's what Mike Trout and Joey Votto and these players agreed to, which is like, hey, I'm going to be here. If you're trying to put together a team, I'm here. I'm a spot. You don't have to worry about me. And so there's part of me that kind of rolls my eyes, not at the money part. The Rockies can afford it. But the part of, hey, you agreed for thick and thin here. You agreed to put together a squad. Now, I don't know what was said behind closed doors. If they said, oh, we're going to sign this player and that, sign with us and we'll sign all them. But there is a part of me that says, look it, Nolan. You're with the Rockies. You're going to have Coors Field's numbers. You're making millions and millions of dollars. And not that that's a fact, you're going to make millions of dollars anyway, but you've agreed to stay with this club for the long term. Now, if suddenly the ownership turned into the Mets ownership or the McCourt era Dodgers management or doing what the Red Sox do, wait a minute, you're dumping your MVP to save some money? I don't want to, this is not what I signed on for. I understand that, but the Rockies are just making a regression that sometimes happens with them. So there's a little part of me which is like, Nolan, hang tight. Let them put the team together, and you'll be back in October with Colorado, which I believe he will. Probably won't be this year, but certainly within the time frame of his contract. So part of me does get a little impatient when it's like, come on, you signed a long-term situation. It's a long-term situation. Yes, it was really great a couple of years ago. It looked like they were going to go far. It didn't quite happen. But let's make it happen in Colorado and rely on you. But it does look like it's going to happen. It looks like they're probably going to trade him. And that's too bad because I like Arenado on the Rockies. And I like doing these podcasts so much that my friend Cubs fan with an 8 guilted me into doing this one. And guess what? I'm going to have one on Monday too. So there you go. You get a bonus one. You get a bonus one for the same price. So, it is a leap year, and I did another one. So go to the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app and check us out in all the places I said. I'm going to get some stuff done today. It's a Saturday. Hope you're happy, Cubs fan with an 8. And hope you're happy that you're listening to this, the Locked On MLB podcast. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Happy leap year, everyone. And you can call me Sully.